appeared, who seemed to be of this family, appeared and stood before me with swords in their hands. The meaning of that, as I think, is that they are to be defenders of the faith. For at another time when I was in prayer, I fell into a trance and stood in spirit on a wide plain where many persons were fighting with great zeal. Their faces were beautiful and as it were on fire. Many they laid low on the ground and defeated. It seemed to be a battle with heretics. Yes, a battle with the atheist forces, who can be defeated everywhere by Mary. It is her office to crush them by the humility of her prayer. This world apostolate of Fatima, which is the fulfillment of the requests of Our Lady, is based on an interview which was held with Sister Lucia, the sole survivor of the Three Children of Fatima, in 1946. Lucia was asked, what are the basic conditions for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the world? And Lucia said, the basic condition is the same as it has always been through history. Men must stop offending God. And we must make reparation for sins. She said specifically, offer up each day the sacrifices required by our daily duties. Offer them up in reparation for those who don't make the necessary sacrifices. Offer them up in reparation for sins and for sinners. Now we accomplish this by making the morning offering and trying to live that offering through the day. The morning offering, we offer to God all the works of the day, everything that we have to do during that day to keep His commandments. We offer it all up to Him in reparation for sins and for the conversion of sinners. And we try during the day, especially in moments of temptation, to remember that we have offered it all. We have sanctified it all. Sacrifice means to make sacred. Sacrum facere comes from two Latin words, to make sacred. And we make everything of the day sacred by offering it to God. However, as Lucy explained, we need help. If we are going to be able to offer up the sacrifices necessary every day, we need help. And at Fatima, Our Lady gives us two specific aids. One, the rosary. The second, her own Immaculate Heart, which she offers to be one with ours. And the sign of consecration to her heart is the scapular. Indeed, the scapular, the enrollment of the scapular, is a quasi-liturgical act of consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Lucy said the reason Our Lady held the scapular out of the sky at the last vision of Fatima is because she wants everyone to wear it. It is the sign of consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Now, that's a very simple formula. It's almost as simple as the scapular itself. When I put the scapular on, I may be thinking only of the fact of Our Lady's promise that if I die wearing it, I'll die in the state of grace. But from the moment I put it on, I profess that I believe. I believe in God. I believe in salvation. I believe in heaven. Of course, I believe in hell. Don't want to go there. I believe in the mediation of Our Lady. I believe every moment of the day, even when I'm asleep at night, the scapular says, I believe. It's an act of faith. Secondly, it's an act of hope. I trust so much in God's mercy that I believe that if I persevere in this act of devotion to Mary, I am going to be saved. Could there be any greater act of hope? And even when I'm not thinking about it, the scapular professes my act of hope. I am perpetually practicing an act of faith and hope by wearing the scapular. And finally, the scapular says, I want God in my life, and I want to be with God forever. So it's an act of love, faith, hope, and love. This is the greatness of the scapular. it is a constant profession of the theological virtues. And is it on that basis, on that foundation, on that holy ground of faith, hope, and charity that Our Lady places us by giving us the scapular? And in the strings of the scapular, I see the arms of Our Lady around me. With the scapular, as Blessed Claude de la Colombière pointed out over and over again, I hold Mary's hand, and she holds mine. And holding her by the hand, I pray the rosary. I pray with her. And through the rosary, she helps me to enter into the mysteries of Christ. And that becomes a tremendous power to help me live a holy life. Help me to sanctify the acts of each day. This is a sort of magic formula. Three things. Holding Our Lady by the hand and praying with her, I sanctify the acts of my day. That will save the world. Our Lady herself said, when enough people are doing this, Russia will be converted and an era of peace will be granted to mankind. And she said, and finally, my immaculate heart will triumph. Finally, enough of my children will hear me. And what will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? It will be the reign of Jesus in the world. And it won't be some figurative kind of reign. The world is going to become aware that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. It's going to be a transformation of faith. People are going to know Jesus is here with us really and truly, just as really and truly as he came into through the closed doors and stood in that room after his resurrection and said, my peace be unto you. Blessed are those who haven't seen and have believed. It's going to be a new world. The worlds of the reign of the heart of Jesus and the sacrament of his love. That will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. It will be brought about by this simple formula. Holding Our Lady by the hand, praying with her, and thus fulfilling our daily duty, sanctifying our day. And we few doing this will save the multitude. The seed of Mary, with Mary, will crush the head of Satan. That's the promise. The promise from the beginning, from Genesis to now. Long before Fatima, long before Fatima, maybe 30 or 40 years before Fatima, the Bishop of Besançon said that if the offering of the apostleship of prayer, that's the morning offering, were extended through the day, the reign of Christ would appear very, very soon. Close quote. And that is just what happens when, in the Blue Army or the World Apostolate of Fatima, we hold Our Lady by the hand wearing a scapular and pray her rosary, praying with her, causing the ordinary actions of our day to take on great spiritual value. A bricklayer who lays bricks all his life and does little else may thus attain the missionary power and glory of St. Therese. All God asks from us in requiring us to pray always is that we perform the actions required by our station of life with the intention of pleasing Him. Let me say that again. It's such a simple thing, but it's the bottom line. All that God asks of us when He asks us to pray always is that we perform what is required by our station of life with the intention of pleasing Him. When we wear the scapular and say the rosary, that intention of pleasing God comes to fill our lives. This is an excellent way to return love for love. God has so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Can't we give a good intention for the actions of our day? We can, if we avail ourselves of the help Our Lady offers. Wear our scapular with attention, realizing what Our Lady has done for us, given us a means to constantly profess our faith over love, to be close to her, to hold her hand, and pray her rosary, thinking of the mysteries. She'll help. She's there. As a matter of fact, when she asked us to keep her company on the first Saturday of the month for 15 minutes, meditating on the mysteries so that we'll learn how to say the rosary well, she didn't say, meditate for 15 minutes. She said, keep me comforting. She's with us. She comes. She's with us when we do this. St. Gervais, the little flower who was called by Pius XI the God's messenger to the 20th century, she said, is not the apostolate of prayer higher, as one might say, than that of preaching? Oh, how beautiful is our vocation. It is for us to preserve the salt of the earth. The Creator of the universe awaits the prayer of one poor little soul to save a multitude of others, redeemed like her at the price of His blood. Although we never do more than our ordinary actions, said St. Grignion of Montfort, we storm against the world, strike the devil with his crew, and strike further and further for life or for death with the two-edged sword of the Word of God. Well, what was the word spoken by God against Satan? I shall place enmities between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed. Thou shalt lie in wait for her heel, and she shall crush thy head. In instituting these devotions of the scapular and the rosary, both at the same time almost 800 years ago, Our Lady prepared for her final struggle with Satan that will end in the triumph of her heart, which she has explicitly promised now at Fatima. She says, now my immaculate heart will triumph. Is it any wonder that Satan is so manifest in the world now? You know, a snake usually lies hidden in the grass, quiet. The greatest danger is you never know it's there until you step on it. But now the grass is all moving everywhere. The serpents are thrashing all about. Satan is so evident. He's being crushed. He knows. Because Our Lady announced it at Fatima. Pope Pius XII, and more especially even Pope Paul VI, spoke of these as the days of the apocalypse. St. Pius X, referring to the great woman of the apocalypse, whom St. John describes as suffering childbirth, remarks, this is St. Pius X's words, John saw the Most Holy Mother of God already in eternal happiness, yet suffering in a mysterious childbirth. What birth was it? Surely it was the birth of us still in exile, who are yet to be generated to perfect charity of God, to eternal happiness. And the birth pains show the love and desire with which the Virgin from heaven above watches over us and strives with unwearying prayer to bring about the completion of the number of the elect. So many souls are lost, Our Lady said at Fatima, because there is no one to pray and make sacrifice for them. When the little flower, St. Therese, cast about in the theater of her longing to save souls, anxiously searching the meaning of a life of ordinary actions, she concluded that what she wanted to be was the heart of the mystical body by her love, by her prayer. And the choice of St. Therese shows us all the way. Only our daily actions, performed through Mary, can be that heart. A heart receives its meaning from all the members of the body whose life stream it receives and circulates. The heart of the mystical body is not complete until the Redeemer, the Redemptrix, and the Redeemed give full meaning to it. Hence the Church continually asks us to turn to Mary that the life of the Church may be more intense in us. Today, I do not doubt at all that extraordinary prophecy that was recorded in the book of Ventimiglia, St. Dominic saying, one day through the rosary and scapular, she will save the world. You know, I told you I wrote that book on the scapular in 1940, leaving out the prophecy of St. Dominic. Years later, I was in Rome during the Second Vatican Council, and I found that on the very place in Rome where the three saints were reported to have met, there is now a great building which is the mother house of the Dominican Order in the world. And in the room where St. Dominic died, there's a painting over the door showing the meeting of St. Francis, St. Angelus, and St. Dominic. One day, through the rosary and scapular, she will save the world. Such little things, such humble things, the heel of Our Lady and of her seed to crush Satan. It is by Mary that the salvation of the world was begun. And it is by Mary that it must be consummated. In the days when the world sighed for a Savior, it ignorantly reveled in material pleasures while he was born at their very doorsteps in a stable. So in these troublesome times, the Marian apostolate is producing salvation where men see just days of ordinary actions, but where God reaps multitudes of souls. Just as a humble Nazarene virgin in the dim brightness of a stable stooped down to draw swaddling clothes protectingly about the precious body of the incarnate God, so she stooped from heaven in the dim brightness of repressed glory to draw spiritual clothes protectingly around the mystical body. When she stooped over the manger, this most glorious mother spoke to him who knew her inmost thought, an ineffable word of melting love and adoration. When she stooped from heaven to clothe the mystical body of this Son, where it lay in the manger of the world and bathed in the light of the universe, as she wrapped her double garment about it, she spoke her word of love. Behold, a sign of salvation. We conclude in the words of Blessed Claude de la Colombière, who was chosen by God to be the confessor of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and to make known the revelations of his Sacred Heart to the world. Blessed Claude said, I know well that the saints have spoken most encouragingly on the powerful protection of Mary, but enlightened and holy as they have been, they are after all only men, only servants of the Queen. Here it is the Queen herself who in that celebrated revelation reveals all the tenderness of her heart to St. Simon Stock. Those great saints have assured me that with Mary to protect my interests, I need fear nothing. That does not suffice me. I wish to know if she does protect my interests. Yes, she gives me proof unequivocal. I have but to glance at my scapular tangible proof before my eyes, and recall the promise attached to its devout wearing, whosoever dies clothed in this shall not suffer eternal fire. Well, my dear friends, I have been speaking primarily of the scapular here because so many others do not emphasize it as it should be emphasized. But let's remember that this great gift of Our Lady, this being placed beneath her mantle, is a part of her plan. There are two other parts. The morning offering, which in union with her Immaculate Heart we consecrate everything today for the triumph of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the world. And the rosary. Who will persevere in wearing the scapular? They do not pray. And we conclude also with the words of St. Alphonsus Liguori, who, referring to the great Sabbatine privilege, which is the promise that those who wear the scapular and say the rosary and live according, chastely according to their state in life, will be freed from purgatory by the first Saturday after death. St. Alphonsus said, and if we do a little more than Our Lady asked, cannot we hope that we shall not go to purgatory at all? And 40 years after the death of St. Alphonsus, they found his brown scapular miraculously preserved in his tomb, as though crying out from the decay of the tomb in miraculous confirmation of those words of this great saint and doctor of the Church. If we do a little more than she asks, can't we hope that we will be saints in this life, that we will not even go to purgatory? Oh, Our Lady appears to Fatima, and she calls us to respond to her and to help her to drive back the forces of evil by sanctifying the actions of our day, holding her by the hand and praying with her. But she is a mother not outdone in generosity. If we do as she asks, if we join her blue army, if we become members of her world apostolate of Fatima, and if more, we clothe others in the scapular, we get others to make the commitment to do these three simple basic things that will bring about the triumph of her heart, do we not know that she will take us intimately into her heart and into the heart of Jesus? Do we not know that Our Lady will not be outdone in generosity? St. Bonaventure said, men do not fear a hostile and powerful army as much as the powers of hell fear the name and protection of Mary. And St. Alphonsus recalls that when Father Emmanuel Patio, a Jesuit, was at the point of death, Mary appeared to him. At the same moment, an army of demons was seen taking flight and crying out in despair, alas, we can do naught, for she who is without stain defends him. And St. Basil of Seleucia remarked, if God granted to some who were his servants such power that their shadows healed the sick, placed in public streets for this very purpose, how much greater must be the power that he has granted to her, who was not only his handmaid, but his mother. Now, as there are millions around the world in the world apostolate of Fatima clothed in the scapular, in them is fulfilled the words of St. Jerome, who said, I have led you into the land of Carmel, that you might eat its fruit and all the good things thereof. That is, for the most difficult labor of the journey, I have given you the abundance of all things which Carmel signifies. And Our Lady appearing in the sky at Fatima, the climax of the great miracle, as Our Lady of Mount Carmel and holding down the scapular, puts us on the threshold of cleanliness of heart. But only the threshold. The actual key to the door of the fulfillment of our daily duties. And the sixth commandment looms largest among them all, is to say the rosary and say it properly. Just before the miracle of the sun, Our Lady said, I am the Lady of the Rosary. Men must stop offending God, already so much offended. And then the miracle appeared over an area of 32 miles, and all who saw it thought it was the end of the world. And if evil continues as it is today, a destroying fire over all the world is what we justly deserve. Now, because of the importance of the rosary, I wrote a book called Sex and the Mysteries, because that part of our daily life, which requires the greatest sacrifice to avoid sin, regards chastity. After all, sex tests everyone. Just think of our confessions. What are the serious sins we most often worry about? And if we can lead a chaste life, we can overcome other faults. And the rosary is of vital importance. When I was writing the book, I think one of the things that impressed me most was the fact of the life of Pope John the 23rd. When he was a student seminarian, he drew down some rules for himself for chastity. And one of them was that he could say the first decade of the rosary every day for purity. And then as he advanced in life, he began to say the 15 decades every day. And even when he was pope, nothing interfered with that. I wish I had time to tell you something I know personally about that. But in any event, when he was 80 years old, at the end of his 80th year, he wrote in his diary his general examination of conscience, because he knew he was near the end of his life. And he examined his conscience as to whether he had ever committed a sin against purity with himself, with others, if he'd ever looked at a bad book, and so on. And he was able to write after each one of them, no, never. Thanks be to the grace of God, never had he committed a single sin against purity. And he says there in his diary, in his 80th year, that I find the strength in the rosary not only for my personal life, but also for governing the church. The rosary is so powerful in helping us to overcome temptation. I made a statement in this book, Sex and the Mysteries. Incidentally, it's 280 pages long. Oh, I wish every, especially priests, I wish everyone would use that book. I can't profit from it. I never took any royalties from any of my books. I'm saying this because it's so needed. To know how to apply the mysteries to our life, like Pope John the 23rd learned to do, it can revolutionize our lives. But I said towards the end of the book that no one can say the 15 decades of the rosary every day and commit a mortal sin. And it was the only statement in the whole book to which the censor objected. And so I changed it to say, in my opinion, no one can say the 15 decades of the rosary every day properly and commit a mortal sin, and that these sins are permitted. I found out later that St. Grignion de Montfort said the same thing. I assure you, it is impossible to say the 15 decades of the rosary every day properly. I don't mean just, you know, reciting, thinking of something else and saying Hail Marys, but doing your best to pray the rosary, thinking of the mysteries, applying. What the book does, it gives you a little thought for each Hail Mary, specifically applied to the problem of leading a chaste life. There are mysteries for those who are alone, mysteries for those who live together, mysteries for children, to create in ourselves a clean heart. Blessed Alan, the great apostle of the rosary, was once tempted while he was recuperating from an illness. He was on the verge of sinning when he felt a blow on his cheek. "Had you asked," he heard a voice say, "I would have helped you." The saint recognized the voice as that of Our Lady, who had appeared to him several times before, speaking to him about the rosary. And she gave the saint to understand that although in this instance he had been so carried away by movements of passion that he had forgotten to pray, she came to his aid anyway because of his daily devotion to the rosary. Easy? Sure. The scapular and the rosary are two of the easiest practices in the world. And when we use them properly, they can cause the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in us. And when enough of us are using them properly, it will cause the triumph of the Immaculate Heart in the world. Man is very old on this planet. He is very slow to learn important lessons. He learned how to use fire and then stone, metal, and even air. But what about his moral development? Even now, he has only begun to learn about Christ in the 15 mysteries of his life, which we pray with his mother of the most pure heart. We use the beads to count from 1 to 50, and one by one, enter into the world of the 15 mysteries. This was always a useful devotion. Now, it is necessary. The great revelations of Fatima in 1917 brought an end to World War I, prophesied World War II, and threatened us with World War III. And in that message, Our Lady put the word must in front of the rosary. Yes, by the rosary and the scapular, some 800 years ago, it was prophesied she would save the world. But she can only save the world if you and I take them from her hands and use them. Holding the scapular and the rosary from the sky,